Before we start the episode today, I do want to give a quick heads up that we lost a little bit of footage on this episode due to some technical difficulties, so that's why we jump into the story that the episode starts at, but we still have plenty of good anecdotes to share today, so let's jump right in. Hello, and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast. My name's Taylor, and today I talked to a runner who broke down her first marathon experience, which just happened in the last year. We break down her first three half marathon experiences, how her relationship with running has changed over time, and how she was really able to depend on running and use it as a good processing tool to get through grief. We break down her entire marathon experience in a lot of detail, so I think you're really going to like this, whether you're a newer runner or an experienced runner. So without further ado, please welcome Jasmine. Okay, cool. So curious how you got involved in the running world. I know you said that you got into racing a little bit later. So how did you get involved in races?
I think I really started getting into running when I did my first race. It was the 10K. That me and my husband we were very late to, but I think that would have been my first like actual race, and then being like, okay, that was fun. Even though it didn't go or we got there late, it was just fun to be there and be around people and actually like have a time, like challenge yourself. And so that's when we were like, or I was like, I need to sign up for more races. I want to do a 10K and probably a half and then a marathon. We'll see. Marathon was never in the books or in the to-do list, but here we are.
Yeah. I was actually going to ask that, like, if you were thinking that far ahead, if you were thinking after you ran that first 10K, okay, now I'm going to start signing up for this or training for this marathon thing, or if there were a few steps in between.
There were many. I know a lot of people do like a lot of, I guess, like half marathons and stuff like that before actually being like, I'm going to go run a full. I actually only ran, I did a lot of 10Ks, and I did like a couple of 15Ks. So it was kind of random. But then I only did one half marathon, and no, I did two. I did two half marathons. I did the Disney one, which was my first half. Cool. It was kind of like, it wasn't too serious. So you're kind of like, okay, like, no one's like really actually racing, so you kind of just go at your own pace. It's for fun. That was my first one, and that made me fall in love with running like all over again. I think I have that picture on my page too, where when I finished, I was just like glowing, and I was just like, oh, I'm ready to do this again. And that made me fall in love with running like all over again. I was like, I'm gonna do another one, and I wanna do like 10 times better. So then I did my second half marathon, and that was last November, and I did PR. I think it was like 45 minutes or something like that. But that I only did two half marathons like before being like, I'm gonna run a full. And yeah. In fact, I was supposed to run three halves before my choice of running a full marathon, another Disney race, except in January that ended up getting cut short. We had a severe weather, and they changed our 13 miles to 7 miles. It was just so odd.
Huh.
It was really bad. It was really overcrowded, and they changed the routes and stuff. It just, that was going to be my third have to be like, okay, I'm ready for my full. But in fact, that ended up getting changed, and I was like, screw this, I'm just gonna run a full. And we literally decided at Disney, I was like, we're gonna run the Rock and Roll Marathon in April.
Yeah, that's funny. So it almost like backwards pushed you into it, because you were like, screw this, this race got cut short, we're just gonna make this whole thing happen from here.
It's happening. I don't care. I was just like, we're doing it. And it was just so funny, because I didn't realize my husband's going to run too, because I was kind of like, I was doing it for myself. And, you know, when you're scheduling your races, you're like, you're gonna have to do one before the summertime, especially if it's like a longer race. And then you can't run like a longer distance till the fall.
Sure.
And I was like, I can't run. I was like, I can't run. I can't wait till October to run my marathon. I was like, I'm gonna run one in April. There's one coming in April. I'm gonna run it. And it was funny. We were just like, yeah, we're gonna sign up for that. And I didn't realize he was going to as well. But we came back from our Disney trip, and 2 days later, we didn't even think about it. We're like, okay, we're gonna sign up now. So it just
Doing it.
happened. Yep. And they say if you don't sign up, then it's not gonna happen. So
100%. Yeah, I think you can get away with like what you were doing with the 10K distance, like not maybe having something on the calendar. You're just in the beginning, like getting that dopamine
yeah.
hit of hitting a new mileage every single weekend. But the marathon is a little
Yeah.
scary. It's hard to wrap your mind around it. Even when you're training for it, it's hard to wrap your mind around it. So 100%, having it on the calendar is huge.
Yeah.
So how did you go from like what was the transition from like you're running your first half marathon for fun to running your second half marathon for a time? Like what did you change during that training time to PR?
I had told my husband what changed was I told my husband that I was gonna leave him like this.
Like, sorry, babe.
I was like, because it was our first one together and our first like half, and we had agreed, we were like, we're gonna get through the finish line together.
Yeah.
And after I was looking back at my race, and I was like, man, I really could have done better. I don't know, like I was re doing really good, and I just didn't, not at him for that, but it was just like I just had these, because when you are a runner, you have to have some sort of challenge. Like for me, when I ran my first one, yeah, it was for fun, but then I was like, but that was so like amazing. Like how did I, like I was running so good, but I really want to do better. So the second one, after like actually even just training for it, the first one we kind of really didn't. I kind of was just like, it's, I ran a 10K. It shouldn't be too bad. I think I, for that first half, I probably trained not even for like a month. And I was just like, yeah, this is just for fun. Like, let's see what happens. Like, I wouldn't do anything
Yeah.
more than a half. So it's not that big of a deal. But then getting, like, actually signing up for the second one, and this was local too. It was the Panama City Beach half. I was really serious about that one, and I did. I was telling my husband too. I was like, I really want a PR. I really want to, like, I want to continue to do better. And that's when we were like, okay, well, we'll see you at the end. Like, we'll see each other at the end of the race. And
Yeah.
so it, and you get in your own mindset too. So when I was running by myself, I could just, you can feel it. Like, you're just like, okay, I have to stay at like this time, and for the next mile, I have to stay at like a 10 minute mile or something. Like, you have a plan for yourself, and it is as much fun it is. I think it, when you want to PR, like, you really have to be like serious, and
Yeah.
you have to put that dedication in. And I was just trying to do that. I was just like, I know I can do better, and I want to prove it to myself that I can. And so that's why I think I did PR. And I definitely trained for sure for the
Yeah.
second one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's great. And you're 100% right. Like when you're not running with somebody else and when you're taking it serious, it's like it's you and you. And I almost feel like it takes so much more mental power too, because you're not just pacing yourself and having a conversation with the person next to you.
Yeah.
You're like you said, checking your watch, making sure you're on pace.
Yeah.
Like if you're following a pacer, you're making sure that you got them in sight. It's a whole other mental battle for sure.
It
But
is, yeah.
great that you were able to PR that one. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really good. I was really happy.
Yeah, that's huge. Well, cool.
Yeah.
And then we know how your third one ended up. It ended up being like a half marathon. But
Half half
how did
marathon.
yeah, how did we progress from there? How did you signed up for the marathon, and then what happened next?
So we signed up for it, and I kind of just thought in my head, I was like, you know what? I have been training for the last 2 months for that half that didn't happen. So I'm just going to continue to increase that training because the race didn't happen. It was, I did give myself like a week or so, 2 weeks maybe, to kind of just like let it sink in and be like, this is what I'm gonna do. This is a training. I have to change how I eat, what you're drinking, sleep-wise. Like, of course, when you are working 8 to 5, I was like, how am I gonna get the time to put in, this work? So then you start to think about that. And after that, I took that 2 weeks to like think about it, and then I did start my training, and I did use for my half marathons, I was using the Nike running app, and then I would add on whatever I felt like. So if it was like a, like a 35-minute speed interval, then like just do it like 3 or 4 times to make the mileage that you need. So I was using that, like trying to figure out when to run what. So that's really what I was doing after that, just increasing that mileage, making sure I was getting my strength training in. That was one of the biggest things, I think. Like, I think that was pretty much it. Like, I was just thinking about how am I gonna get to the 26 miles, and I think I had 14 weeks that I had to do that. So that was a little scary, especially when you start to look online and you're like, this says like you need 18 weeks, and then 20 weeks is even better. And I was like, well, I really truly only have 12 weeks because you're weaning the last 2 weeks. So that was something.
Just a little bit of a maybe mentally scary to have a shorter time frame to fit everything in. Were you able to like adjust your app and your training plan to the time frame that you had to do this, or were you making those adjustments on your own?
So when you do start on the Nike running app, it asks you when your race is. So it changes the whole program, I guess, to cater to your race time or like your race date. I will say that the Nike running app, I was going 3 to 4 miles over what it was saying for me to do for the week. And that's just because what I thought was best for me and like what I thought would make me accomplish or even get to the finish line. But I would always follow like their plan. Like today we're gonna do a speed run, and then you have your hill intervals, tempo runs. So I wouldn't always follow that. I would just add more mileage to it. But it's a really good app. I've always really liked it. You can really personalize it. Of course, if you know what really to do or what is best for you, I think it is a really good app to use. I know a lot of people use it too.
I think it's great. All those apps like the Nike Run Club, the Run with Hal, the Runna, all of those are like that, where you can kind of program your race distance and then it makes adjustments from there. But I also like that you were taking into account like your own life and your own distances and what you felt like would be best for you, because I don't think there's any one way to do this whole thing. You have to kind of
No.
listen to what your intuition's telling you to.
Yeah, and there were definitely days where you're like, yeah, there's no way I'm running the 14 miles today. And that happened to me twice during my training, during my training, where I was like, it says 16 today or 17 today. I already ran 40 miles Monday through Friday. Like, there's no way. And you do hit that wall, and that happened to me twice, and it disappoints you a little bit, because you would think that you would consistently see progress, and then you don't, and then you're like, man, like what happened today? Like, I was doing so good. So definitely had those, but I did change my mileage according to what I felt. I mean, there were weeks I was running, I think 35. I was running 35. I ran 35 weeks, I think 35 miles twice. And then the other ones, it was like 40, 42. I think the most I did was 43 miles for the week.
Yeah.
And that was crazy. I mean, thinking about it now where I'm only running, I think, 20 miles a week, I was like, how was I doing that? Like,
yeah,
I didn't get to do anything. I was
right.
Getting up, going to the gym, running outside. And then you come home. I was even going sometimes to do my strength training after work because I didn't have enough time in the morning. And then you went to sleep just so you could do the same thing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely it's a journey for sure. Yeah.
Yes. It's a massive time commitment. And it's like the people that run multiple marathons in a year, you're basically just doing like taking a little bit of break in between and then starting the whole thing back over again, which is even crazier.
Yeah,
it's a massive time commitment. And you mentioned that you work 8 to 5. I know a lot of people are in the same boat. Like, how did you manage working full time and training for a marathon?
I will say that one thing I got lucky with is the fact that, like, during college and even a little bit after college, I always woke up really early. I just had jobs that, or even like during like college time, I would like go to the office and I'd be there at like 4:30, 5 in the morning, but the office didn't open till 7. And that just became a habit. Like waking up early, I think I got lucky with that because I think that was one of the biggest things, was me getting up at like 3:15 and getting those 2 hours at the gym in the morning, and then being able to go to work and still work. And there are times during lunch break we get 1 hour and I would go in my car and I nap because I was like, man, I really have to go to the gym after work and
yes.
I don't know if I'm gonna get enough sleep. So there are many times I slept during my lunch break, and I think that just overall having that habit, I think if you have good habits and you stick with them, they follow you through. And I think that really helped was just always getting up early and making sure, you know, you got your gym done, you get your good breakfast, and making sure you're eating right, like right after. But it was definitely hard. I think it was just getting through the day that was hard. Because if I was waking up at 3, I would be up almost 18 hours by the time I'm going to sleep again.
Yeah.
And I would only get like, yeah, that's crazy. And then you'd get like, I think I got like 7.5 hours of sleep, really. And then I would do 2 days of rest day during the week. If I was feeling pretty good, I would just do one rest day, and then Sunday or something would be like a recovery thing and like a beach walk or something like that. But I would try to at least get 2 rest days because a couple of times I thought I was going to get sick. Just from exhaustion.
Yeah.
So I made sure I was getting those 9 hours of sleep when I needed it and the 10 hours when I needed it. But I thought that was very important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Like, sleep is huge. And what, like you said, when you're having to wake up at 3 a.m, 4 a.m. to get these runs in, it's really hard to dedicate yourself to running or to sleeping 7 to 8 hours a night. Then that is where you get sick. So it's definitely something mm-hmm. to keep in mind for marathon training.
Oh, yeah.
That sleep is massive.
Very.
And then you mentioned that, I think you said like a 15, 16 mile run. There was a couple of them where you maybe didn't accomplish them the way that you wanted to. Can you talk mm-hmm. about those a little bit? Like what were those experiences like?
So my first 17 mile run, I was trying to go through like different routes, and mainly because when you are at the panhandle, you don't have 26 miles to run. Like a lot of the times you are looping or you have to just kind of go into areas that isn't necessarily too nice. And I wouldn't say nice, I mean like not probably structured, but my 17 miles run, I did fall. And luckily enough, I landed, I was holding my handheld bottle, and I landed on my bottle and not my knees or anything. So that race, that day, I want to say it was supposed to be a longer run, but it turned out to be a 16-mile run. But that was one of the ones that I did fall, and you're kind of, I laughed about it. I thought it was really funny, but luckily enough, I didn't injure myself being 4 weeks out from my race. But that's how that one went. My pace wasn't that good in that one. We went over a lot of bridges, and if you do live in the panhandle, you're not really used to any elevation. I think the most I get here is 25 feet, if anything. So running those bridges, and then and I think it was during kind of the colder times too, because we were running in February and March, and it does get cold over here. Just having to like have those layers on, and then taking them off, and then it getting like cold again, the wind is blowing against you. It was definitely like something different to run in, considering that our race was like humid and it got to like 85 degrees. It was just really hot. And over here, like I'm training for my 16, 17 miles with like layers of clothes on. I don't think that helped at all. And like your ears get really cold. I think that was just like, people thought I was crazy trying to run in like 20 degree weather, but I mean, I had to, but I think that was mainly what disappointed me was the fact that, you know, you think you're running really good, like on your hills, and you've been doing your hill intervals, but then when you actually run on the bridges and stuff and you're getting that like 100 feet like jump, you're not doing as well. I think that was a bit of a disappointment for me. Just not getting, being used to that, and also starting to kind of feel, I did kind of feel like my injury that I had years ago, where I was like, oh, I'm feeling that same kind of pain. And this was at one of my 16, 17 miles as well, where I was like, oh, I really hope it's not like coming back again. So I would like stop myself from running what I had to. So a couple of times, like those two times, that's what I felt was like, I feel like my body can't go further, or I'm not training good enough to be running, you know, 26 miles. So I think that's where you kind of are like, I was like, I'm so disappointed in my race, like in my running right now. And you just turn around and go home.
Try again next week. But it really is such a knock on your confidence. I had a similar experience with the first, it was way earlier on, but it was the first time that I ran over a half marathon distance. First 14 mile run didn't go the way that I planned. And like your thoughts immediately go to, I can't run this marathon. Like one bad run and you're like, I can't do this. This is, I clearly am not built for this. Like half marathon was my distance and that's it. But it's just now that we're both on the other side, like we can say it's a bit of a trust the process moment, and you need to fail in those moments to really appreciate, I think, what you're accomplishing. So it's definitely take a breath. You're not, you know, one run is not going to ruin your marathon experience. You just gotta get back up and try again.
No, I totally agree. That is something that you have to tell yourself many, many, many times. And especially the last, like that last hurdle, when you are over those 15 miles, that's all you're telling yourself. You're like, once I get through this and I'm at that race, I'm on race day, none of this will matter. Like my bad thoughts, they're not gonna matter. So that's something I have to consistently tell myself, like, You're gonna finish, like you're gonna finish it. Just don't, you have to be very, very, very positive. I forget, there was I think it was like a video I saw somewhere where it's they were talking about, running alone and the distance. No matter what the distance is, but that consistent stress that you have on your body and the mental load, our bodies are not meant for that. So if you're running, I mean, for us to be running over the half marathon mile, that is just amazing. Like, we're not meant to be running this at all. It's a really good feeling, like, to think about it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's such a cool way to look at it. Like, you're not meant to be doing this and you're doing it anyways. That's such a cool feeling. Well, cool. So then from there, like what was the longest training run that you did? Did you do like a 20 miler, 21, 22? What was your longest run?
I did 21 and then 20.
Okay.
And
So
that
you had a
was,
couple.
yeah, those were hard.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
How were you feeling like after you had done your longest distances, you were about to start tapering? How were you feeling about the marathon at that point?
When I got to 20, I definitely teared up during that, at finishing that one, and that following weekend, I was supposed to run 21, but because I had run a 20 already, I was kind of like, no, I don't think my body's gonna, I don't want to do that immediately. So I actually skipped doing that weekend run, doing a 21, and ended up doing, I think, a 15 or something.
Yeah.
And then that following weekend is when I did my 21 miles, and it was an interesting feeling because you're just like, you kind of like forget. Like, I think after a mile like 18, especially when you're training, you kind of forget like what is going on. Like, you're kind of just like, I just have to, if I can run to 21, I know I can finish the marathon. So I don't know, I don't even, I think I had looked at my watch or something when we, like when I was running mile 19 during that last long run, and I was just like, it's only a 5K, like that's all you have left, and this is your last long run. So I finished it. Felt great. I felt really good. I was happy with my pace. Overall, I was glad. I think that long run too, I had tried the Morton gels and stuff like that. The last long run, I didn't start using them anyways till I started mile 16 or 17, where I was kind of like, I need caffeine, and I'm very sensitive to caffeine, so I actually don't drink caffeine daily. I have it like once a week. So for me to be on gels that had caffeine was really weird. So during that race, I think, or that training weekend, I think I did really good with my gels because I did take them at a timely manner and I felt really good. I didn't have to use a restroom or anything. I was trying to treat it as like the race. And after I had finished that, the off weeks were definitely weird. It's kind of weird because I think, you feel like you're not doing something right because you like start to gain weight and your mood is weird. Like, I don't know if you felt that way, but when I did stop running that much, I was kind of just not depressed, but I was kind of like, am I like not supposed to be doing something? Like
Like
my
off,
body thinks I'm supposed to be doing something. Like definitely felt that, and I just made sure I was eating what I needed to eat, hydrating. That's how really the last 2 weeks were. I did a lot of walking. Still kept my speed intervals, hill intervals at the decreased mileage that they're supposed to be. Yeah, I think for my first marathon, I'm very, very proud of the progress and the training plan. Like how it all was, I think it went very, very well. I don't think I'm sure I could have done a couple of things better, but I think overall I noticed that I was just running better. I was breathing better. So I think getting to that last 2 weeks of finally being like, okay, I'm good. I wasn't too scared of my train, like what I didn't do, which is so odd because I know a lot of people are like, what if I like didn't do this right, or I may have not run this much, or I should have ran more or something like that. I should have done more strength training. For some odd reason, I was content with what I had done for my race. I don't think I could have done anything else for my first marathon. I mean, you just go to it and you're like, it's go time
You did
when
what
you're
you did.
there.
I think that's a healthy way to look at it. Like you followed your training plan to the best of your ability, like you said. You did what you needed to do, and from here you just kind of got to trust that everything's going to fall into place and it's going to go the way that you hope it goes. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
Well,
for
cool. Well,
sure.
let's break down race day. I'm excited to hear how the actual experience went. So I feel like a lot of people will divide the race into parts. So what was like the first, let's say, half marathon like for you?
I really in I was good with my first my half. I was When I did get into the corral, I was gonna follow the 4:45 time. But then as I was going, like 2 miles passed by, and then I was like, you know what? I think I'm doing pretty good. I think I'm gonna switch to the 4:30, the pacer. And I was doing really good until I want to say 14 miles. When I say Nashville is the hardest course ever, it truly is, because I mean, going from running here on a flat surface to Nashville, where I think our first 8 miles we were already on 400 or 500 feet elevation, that was something that I did not like I was like, wow, I did not prep for that at all. And I couldn't really do anything about that because we just don't, Florida just doesn't have hills like that, the elevation. I think the most I did over here was 150 or some. And that's like going towards places that have a little bit of mountains of some sort, or even on the, the treadmill, I was going probably 80, 85 feet elevation gain. But there's no way I could have mimicked 500 to 600 feet. Like that was something I was just not ready for. But I did get through the 14 miles with the four. I want to say I was in between. I think I was between 4:30 and the 4:45 pacer. So I think my half went. I was good with. I was like, okay, I think it's like a 10:20 pace. What got me though at like that 14, I think it was maybe right before 14, this woman had a sign that said, this is your last hill, and you like go over literally this like slope. It's so crazy. I cannot believe that I was going over these hills and I was still fine. But you're literally going like this. And this woman has a sign that says, "This is your last hill. Like, you got this. Don't worry about it." And you like get over on top of the hill and you look straight. And there's like 10 more hills. And
That's awful.
that killed me. And that was at the right before 14. And I was like, oh, you know, don't say that. I don't have that. That was so discouraging. And I think after that, I slowly stepped into, I stayed right before the 4:45 pacer for my, at least right after the half. So not what I was expecting, but
Yeah, they need to check those signs. That shouldn't be allowed to no false spreading false information on the course.
they need to be pre-approved is what it
Right. Yeah, that sucks. I would be so frustrated. Or I know, remember in my race there was one that was like, "This is your last turn before you see the finish line," or whatever. And there was at least two more, and I was like, you can't say that.
No,
You're messing with me.
no. And we're not even like you're half, you're okay. Yeah, we are halfway to finish the marathon. But that halfway is still like 20 more steps, please. Like, I have a whole different race after the half. You shouldn't have put that sign up. That was so bad.
That's so mean. Yeah, I that just yeah. Well, oh, so you see the hills in the distance, and you're thinking, "Oh my God, I'm gonna have to go, do this whole thing over again a second time." What happened from there?
So after four, I still ran. My pace did slow down from 14 to, I'm gonna say 16 or 17, and then it got, after that, it just got very, very lonely, for 4 miles. And during those 4 miles, I think I took my first walking break at mile 17-ish, and it started raining, and that was not expected because we started out, the temperature, the weather was amazing. Started out like 72 degrees, cloudy, with literally humid, like, you know, it's starting to rain, so it's starting to get very humid, very hot. And after it sprinkled or it rained, mile 18, it rained for a solid 15 to 20 minutes. And after, like, I took my walking break for, I think it was 45 seconds. Then I started running again, and I found kind of like this group with me on the side that I was like, I don't know why, but I was kind of like, huh, I like the pace that they're going. I think I'm gonna continue next to them. So I continued with these like groups of guys and girls, for almost 2 miles, a mile and a half, maybe 2 miles, and it started getting super hot. The sun was out. I think it was like 85 degrees now. It feels like 90. The temperature definitely changed from what I was running like the first half, and then mile 20, I started getting a weird hip pain, and I stopped at the Biofreeze aid that they had, and I had them spray my legs, and I also grabbed a bag of ice and I shoved it in my shorts where my hips were hurting. And this was like mile 20-ish, and this is when it started to get very scary, I think, because it got very like lonely again. We went through downtown, but then we started running into these train sidewalks of some sorts. There was like no one there. It's dirt road. So now you have different, you have different roads that you're stepping on. Like, it's going from like grass to dirt, and then you're on like concrete again. And I think that really impacts like the way that your knees and your hips are gonna work. once, like, that was very lonely. The dirt roads was very lonely. And of course, when my hips started hurting, I was like, crap, like, I still have, 5 or 6 miles. Like, I don't know if I can finish. And then you start seeing after the 21, 22 miles, after the 21, 22 miles, you start to see people like throwing up, and there are people on gurneys, and that was just very discouraging, like discouraging, because you're just like, they're throwing up. Like, that's when I was like, like, am I gonna be doing that? I wasn't ready, and I also stopped taking my gels at that time, I think at like mile 22 or so. But I couldn't handle watching other people feeling that way, I guess, and that really affects you like mentally. So then I kind of slowed down my pace again. I started walking a little bit more because it did get really, really, really hot. This time it was like 11 o'clock, probably over 90 degree, like feels like 90 degrees. And I was kind of like, you know what? I just want to finish. I want to finish. Like, I'm not going to try to like rush this. And that's exactly what I did. And of course, the last, those hills that like, that weren't supposed to be there killed me. I think that kind of caused me to have my hip pain a lot more. So I was kind of just slowing down a little bit more. And then I stopped at another BioFreeze aid. I threw away my ice, and on top of that, at mile 22, my headphones died,
Ah, the
and
worst.
that didn't help anything. And then so I was like, you know what? Screw this. I'm sure no one will care if I have my music on out loud. They're in their own. They all had their headphones in. A lot of the ones were, a couple of people next to me were actually singing out loud. And I was kind of like, you gotta do what you gotta do. I'm not gonna.
Absolutely.
It's totally cool. So then I started playing music, and it really sucked at the same time because I was just like, man, I really can't play the rap music that I really like need be to push me through this. And I started listening to, like, of course, like some of the music that I do like is like alternative music. So I was kind of like, maybe play something that's a little like friendlier and maybe not like piss someone off, And I had my vest on. I put my music on out loud, and I was just like, at least my phone is good. I think it had like 40% left, and I talked to a person next to me during this time too, and he's like, whoa, those like hills really killed me. I can't believe like it turned out to be a really bad like race for me. And I was like, well, I'm sorry. Like, are you from here? Are you from somewhere else? And he's like, no, I'm from here, and that killed me. And I was just like, oh,
Oh boy, yeah.
I don't feel like too bad. But and now is the time I also really wanted to see my husband. It was 23. We did a loop around where once again I saw people throwing up, and you really try to like block it out, and it's hard because you want to look around, and you're running. We were running at a new place, so I was kind of like, oh, I really want to like look around, see where I'm at. And it ended up at 23. I was getting this feeling, like I was like, I really want to see my husband. Like, I really need that boost right now. And we didn't have any family members like cheering for us or anything because they're in Atlanta. And so we did the race like by ourselves. And it was really hard to, find that boost to be like no one's really cheering for you. You just have like random people that are cheering, but they're cheering for like their people. And that was very, I think, very discouraging for me. Like, I was kind of just like, oh, I really wish like someone was here for me. But at 23, I started getting kind of like a feeling like I was like, I really feel like my husband's close by, and we were running like against each other with like these cones in the middle, so we're doing a loop back now. We only have like a 5K left. So I'm getting this feeling like I really want to see him because I really need this boost to like just finish. And I ended up seeing him, and we hugged at this part, and then I was like, okay, you got this. And he told me, he was like, you got this. And we had like written like Sharpie on each other's arms and stuff, which washed off, of course, with our disgusting sweat.
Sweat.
But
Yeah.
And so I was like, man, I really wanted to see him. So I got to see him and finished kind of a walk jog, definitely 3 miles. A lot of the people who did finish the race came back and were in the middle of the route, and they were just giving everyone high fives. And that last mile is where I was like, okay, this is, you get that feeling, you kind of get like this electric shock almost, like, and my hair like rose up that last mile, and you see like the sign saying like, turn this, 1 more mile, people are shouting. And that's when, I mean, they're out on top of that, which for this race didn't help at all. They ran out of water or like Gatorade and stuff,
Jeez.
completely out. I mean, that was not good because I carried a vest and I had some water left, but it had warmed up and I really needed like cold water. And I was putting it on myself, and because the sun was like beaming hot, and I was trying to put it on myself so I don't like pass out and stuff. So that didn't help. Like, and then you're kind of like also like, oh, I only have like a mile left. Like I can do it. And ended up being someone had a mix of like Gatorade and water and whatever, and I was like, I need that. Like
Yeah, I'll
I
take it.
drank it. I'll take anything at this point. And so I ended up taking it. And we're at the last mile. There's a girl next to me who I think we've been running together for the last like 2 miles maybe. And we're just like, we're not talking or anything. We're kind of just running next to each other. And then we have like half a mile left. And after that, like I just remember just going. Like I was going almost like a 10:50, 11 minute pace at this point. At the last, the 24-ish mile, I was going around that pace, which was not what I wanted, but I wanted to finish the race more than trying to figure out like what pace I was at or if I was even like beating anything, because
Yeah.
I really didn't want to like pass out and be like, and did not finish the race or whatnot. So I was kind of just like, even if I'm jogging a little bit, it's fine. And so I was jogging like 11 minute pace the last 2 miles, and then that half mile that was left, out of nowhere, I'm going at this 8 minute pace, and I'm just like, I can't, like, I just want to get across that finish line. And I remember the girl that was running next to me for the last 2 miles, she started racing me, and that's like the worst feeling too, because now you're like, why is someone racing me? Like, this isn't our race.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I'm just trying to get over there because I just want to finish it. Like, I'm done. I've chafed with my running vest, and I've run out of water. I don't even know. I'm not even sweating at this point. Like, that's how dehydrated I was.
Right.
And I just like crossed that finish line, and I'm just like literally like had to sit down and cry for sure. And then I was waiting. I couldn't go anywhere. I wanted to cheer on my husband, so he came in and I was like clapping for him. But yeah, that was, I didn't even finish all my gels. I mean, so that whole like training fuel thing went right out the door,
Sure,
so that
yeah.
didn't work out at all. But yeah, I'm easy getting to the finish line,
Yeah,
though all
that's
those
awesome.
emotions.
For
Yeah.
sure. Yeah, and it's good that you got to kind of feel them too, because some people are just, you're so exhausted by the end that you're like dead almost inside. But it's good that you got to like sit with it for a second. Maybe it helped that you were waiting for your husband too. But what a crazy race experience. You had a lot of ups and downs, probably pun intended, with all those hills.
Literally. And everyone afterwards they were just like, this is the hardest course. And we did the rock and roll marathon, and we could have picked any other one, but it was just the fact that we really I just wanted to really do one before summer started.
Right.
And if I know, because most of the ones over here don't start till November or so when it starts to get cooler. So I was like, I really want to do one in April, and it happened to be the hardest course. And not realizing, I mean, in the end of the day, I think it said like 1,000 feet of elevation,
It's
and that
crazy.
was something I was that was something I scared I was scared of. But that's just something I couldn't control, like for my training. So I didn't take it like personally or anything. I think overall I was happy with my race. And just like, I don't know why, every time I cross that finish line, I'm always like this giant smile on my face. It's just like all my friends like at work and stuff, they're like, "You must be crazy for smiling after you ran 26 miles." And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, that you can't, like you cannot express to anyone. It's so hard.
Oh yeah. It's something you have to do to really understand like what that feeling feels like. It's a little bit of exhaustion, it's a little bit of just like disbelief, and you can't believe it, and you think about all your training. Like it's a lot. It's hard. It's really hard to describe for sure. But that's great. I appreciate you kind of breaking down your first marathon experience and all that detail. I think it was great to kind of hear everything that you went through on that day. I am kind of curious, just a couple like last questions. If you, looking back on the entire experience, like what advice would you give to somebody who is now thinking about running their first marathon?
I would definitely say, like, be patient. Like, your progress, it's not gonna happen overnight. It took 2 to 3 years to be able to run a half marathon. So I would say be patient, like have fun with it. Don't always, you shouldn't always take it to heart, because it's only you. Like, you're the only person in the world that judges yourself. No one else, like, their opinions don't matter. So if you are judging yourself, don't be so hard on yourself. And also, make sure you charge your headphones. And I will say, have like a really good playlist for sure. I did have a really good playlist. But if you're a person whose emotions fluctuate because of music, mine do, I think that really helps. But I would say those two things, like be patient, have fun, like enjoy it. It goes by fast, even though I know it's a long time you're running on that route, but it goes by really fast, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, that was nothing, you know? So I would say that, yeah.
That's great. I love that. Well, cool. And then last question is just what's coming up next for you? Is there anything that you're working on right now or training for or thinking about training for? What's up next?
I'm not really thinking about anything the summertime. There are a couple of 10Ks and a half marathon locally that's going to be happening here in Panama City Beach. So I'm probably going to train for those. But I'm just at this time just enjoying my love for running, and making sure, like, if I do get better during this time, even though I'm not training for anything, I'm kind of like, hey, I mean, I'm just doing it for fun, you know? But yeah, just 10Ks, maybe a half. There is a full marathon too in November. So I might think about it. It might be something I'll wait till August, but just trying to enjoy my summer a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Before you jump right into the next thing, make sure you have some time off. Cool. I'm looking forward to seeing what's coming up next for you. And if anybody wants to follow along with you, where can they find you?
So I do have my Instagram running page. It's Smiles with Jasmine. And that should be it. Yeah, I love my running community. I love having them. So I hope to see everyone there. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. And I'll link it below so everybody can see it. But yeah, just thank you again for coming on and telling your story. It was really fun getting to know you and hearing kind of what's coming up for you. So really appreciate it.
Yeah. I appreciate talking to you too. I think it was awesome. Yeah.